fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to pick up today where I left off yesterday. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I was talking yesterday, you could say, about the culture of death. Not a real happy topic, first thing in the morning, but I think an important one. Pope John Paul II and the recent popes have talked so much about the reality of the battle that we're facing and put their finger on this struggle. And John Paul named it as a culture of death. What's a culture? The culture is the way of life of a people, what they value, the whole collection of things within the culture that express what they value. And so what they have observed, recent popes have observed, and I think we can see very easily, is that there's a great struggle and a great battle going on within civilizations and cultures in our time to determine really what are the values that are going to inform this way of life. And what the Holy Father had done in reading the signs of the times, and Pope Francis does it today, I think, quite effectively as well, is to point to those legal decisions, political decisions, actions within cultures and civilizations that express the control of a culture of death. That is, you might say, from a Christian perspective, understanding the culture of death or the way of life in a culture of death is that there's a shift from moving from being under the rule and reign of God and God's light, God's understanding of the human person, and the life that comes from God really informing that culture. In our culture, we can see the signs of it, the Ten Commandments on the Supreme Court, in courts all around the country. There was, in a Christian culture, in a culture of life, a place where, whether people believed it, people held Catholicism or Christianity as their fundamental belief, or Judaism, there was a fundamental respect in the culture of the imaginative worldview. A Christian understanding of reality, a Judeo-Christian understanding of reality, was predominant in the culture. And it informed the culture. And because of that, for a long time, for example, the culture didn't improve in its laws. It didn't approve of abortion, contraception, a whole set of things. Now, the culture of death, you can see, is taking a kind of steady ascendancy in our time. Yesterday, I read a kind of a grim story of the exercise of euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide in Amsterdam. In 2002, Holland legalized euthanasia. There was a very sad story of a young woman in her 20s who had been sexually abused at some point in her life and was suffering very severe post-traumatic stress from that experience. And the professionals that were looking out for her concluded that the therapy, the different kinds of treatment that they had prescribed wasn't working, and she didn't want to suffer anymore, so she wanted to die. And she made her case, and the committee that hears these cases in Holland said she has a right to die. And so the physicians who were involved and gave her a lethal injection that killed her. Now, what happens in a culture of death, friends, and this is something that we have to see, go back to Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, where God was speaking to his people Israel, who he formed and shaped. He was leading them into his life and his way of life. And he said this in chapter 30, verse 19, it's recorded, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, clinging to him. For that means life to you and length of days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." So he's taking them into the promised land, and God's forming a people. And we know that in the people of Israel, God's chosen people at the time, God began by revealing to them the way of life really for all of humanity. The commandments he gave to Moses on Mount Sinai were not just religious, private religious commandments. These are God is revealing himself. God is revealing his mind, his economy, his plan. And in that revealing to his chosen people what it means to live a life that respects God and is in conformity to how we were shaped, how we were made, how God designed us. And he showed them, most importantly, the path to life. God is life. God is light, the apostles tell us. God is love. Friends, there is only one God. There is only one ground of all being, the God, the mind, person who created everything, including us. And we're made to run on God and God's light and God's revelation. And to the degree that the human race lives according to God's order, the human race will prosper. But to the degree that the human will and the human mind say no to God's revelation, to say no to God's natural order, God's design, we step outside of God's will. And he tells us we then put ourselves under the curse of the power of death. There's two kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom of light, which Jesus Christ rules and reigns over, and he's the one who destroyed death through his death on the cross, through his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father in glory. He now exists in absolute freedom, having conquered the power of death. As St. Paul said, oh, death, where is your power? Death, where is your sting? Jesus Christ has made it possible for us through his death and resurrection and the outpouring of his Holy Spirit for us to live in the light, to walk in the light where there is life. The light of God that reveals to us who we are. It's like the light gets turned on. We understand who we are. What we're seeing now, as I mentioned yesterday with Pope Benedict's understanding of things, he said that light is going out in vast areas of the world today. And many Christians are involved willingly drifting with the culture of death. Now, the reason for that is that there's only one way to live in this world as a Catholic and as a Christian. It's to be a radical disciple. It's to be surrendered with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength to God, to put God first, to seek first the kingdom of God, to have surrendered our lives to the Lord. John Paul said so clearly, there comes a time in the life of every Catholic when they need to make a personal decision to surrender their life to the Lordship and majesty of Jesus and become his disciple. It's all Jesus, all the time. We live for him. Now, every day there's a spiritual battle to stay on course. If we're minimalistic Christians, that is, we kind of just get to church on occasion, don't pray very often, don't read scripture very often, and most of our time and free time is fixed on either our personal entertainment or just watching television or whatever, there's no serious communion in pursuit of God. If that's where we are, we're going to drift with the culture. Pope John Paul said it this way. He said, minimalistic Christians are fundamentally Christians at risk. At risk of getting swept away with the broader culture. And so we see statistically, Christians, people who self-identify as Christians in large numbers, standing up and using their voice, using their vote to support the very laws, values that express the culture of death. Catholic politicians who say they privately oppose abortion. But in their public life, they don't even take a neutral stand. They become radical defenders of every kind of abortion, the murder of a child, the murder of the innocent. Around the world, euthanasia is emerging. I read the story, just talked about it earlier. Baptized people in Holland casting the vote. Yes, everybody has a right to do with their body what they want to do. They're free to do that. That's not a Christian worldview at all. And to say that my body's not my own, that I'm not the origin of my own creation, I didn't make myself, that I came from somewhere. For a politician to say, no, it's not a good idea for a person to kill themselves or for professionals to kill people, to murder them, because life and death is in the power of God, in the hands of God. And if someone says, hey, you're imposing your religion on me, say, look, it's not my private idea. This is reality. This is the ground of reality. This is a very unwise thing to do. It's a dangerous thing to do. I set before you life and death. And when humanity steps out from under God's will, and we decide we're going to ignore the natural law, we're going to declare ourselves the creators of our own reality, our own being, our own truth, our own goodness, and then the law decides it's going to get behind that, and we're going to start valuing what God condemns, we put ourselves under the dominion of darkness. Scripture calls it a curse, will be a curse. St. Francis, I was just in Assisi. I was amazed at how often St. Francis warned people against this. To break from the commandments of God and God's orders to put yourself under a curse. And we see it expressed time and again, friends, in various ways. Here, both in euthanasia. Now, euthanasia is the enlightened thing to do. Why? Isn't that interesting? What human beings have understood for 2,000 years, 3,000 years, as being fundamentally wrong, both against nature but also against God, we, the enlightened ones of the 21st century, the post-Christian secularists, say, no, this is the road to happiness and fulfillment. So the one case described, ended the program yesterday, described in the article, 45-year-old woman had been sexually abused, suffered tremendous trauma and pain. She just couldn't live with it any longer, and the professionals agreed with her. And they had this beautiful, quaint little service where they end up injecting her. They put a sedative drip in her. And then the doctor who did it says, "We wished her well on her journey." When I read that, friends, I didn't know whether to weep or to rend my garments. I just thought, what are we thinking? What's going on? Friends, what's going on is we're seeing visibly and tangibly what the scripture warns us about and the saints have talked about so often. If you refuse to acknowledge God and to give him thanks and to be obedient basically to his commands and the natural order of things, if you set your will against it, God, who made you free, will let you do it. And when we make that choice, our minds become darkened. It says, their senseless minds were darkened. They refused to worship the Creator. And we become the masters of reality and our own destiny. And we believe a lie that happiness and freedom can only be found apart from God. Friends, that's insanity. It's demonic. And here what ends up happening, the great light of these doctors in Holland is, we're going to send her on her journey. They have no idea where they're sending her. But they put all these pleasant words around it. Guess what? This young woman is going to appear before the judgment seat of God. And so are those who are doing this. We can't pretend that reality is not what it is. We can't make it up. We can create a whole world that pretends God doesn't exist, but it doesn't mean God does not exist. There's a profound spiritual battle going on, friends. We'll talk about it more again tomorrow. Especially one of the things we can see is the demographic winter that's unfolding across the West. That is, populations are decreasing at record rates. And what does that mean and what's being revealed there? Friends, have a great day. Walk in the light of Christ. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.